Blog
Hi there,
Radio.
And welcome. That English woman every single time gets me. Anyways, welcome to this episode of What the Clock, a podcast that is devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I am Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in today's fun episode, we are going to talk all about dust bathing. And I know that this is a topic that a lot of people are interested in because I get lots and lots of views on some of my articles on the blog, and I also get lots of people asking lots of questions about dust bathing, particularly because there is some interesting conflicting advice out there. So we won't be super controversial today. We'll just be a little bit controversial. I don't think there's anything controversial about dust bathing personally or diatomaceous earth, but you know, humans have to make controversy out of something, right? If there's nothing, just air, people are going to find a way to make controversy out of air. So anyways, if you are joining us on the Facebook page, go ahead and leave your comments below, your questions, shout outs, whatever. Definitely put comments in, say hi, let us know where you're from, and maybe what kind of chickens you have, because that would be a cool topic for today. If you are joining me on Blog Talk Radio, it just occurred to me that maybe nobody could hear me because of my microphone. If you're joining us on Blog Talk Radio and you want to join the discussion, please go to thefrugalchicken.com/Facebook, which will take you to the Facebook page. Just scroll down until you see this live feed. If you are on the Facebook page and you are enjoying this discussion, please do like and share it so that other people can get the wisdom, share the love, heart. Okay, so let's go on to our episode. And this episode is sponsored by Manipur Poultry. And the reason why is because Manipur has the best chicken products on the market. They are the official chicken feeder or producer. I'm not right today. No, they're the chicken, official chicken feed of Frugal Chicken. So that's why we love them, right? All right, guys, welcome to this one Monday morning. I would love to hear how your day is going also. My day is started off interesting. Anyways, I couldn't find any of my laundry this morning, so I'm wearing this thing because the tank top I'm wearing is not something I want to go live in. But let's get on to start talking about dust bathing. So dust bathing is something totally natural for chickens to do. If you don't know what I'm talking about, there's actually a picture on the Facebook page of a chicken, you know, the call up for this that I put up yesterday, of a chicken dust bathing. Basically, all it means is that they're rolling in the dirt and they're cleaning themselves. That's pretty much all it means. It's something that they do very naturally, and they do it to they not clean their feathers, but you know, keep down the mite load, keep down, you know, it's a social thing also. They do it socially, so it's how they kind of I'm sure you've seen it. Like if you have multiple chickens, you've seen this, where the chickens, they will congregate in a dusty area, everybody lays down, and everybody kicks dirt all over themselves, and they roll all over themselves. And it's really funny because the very first time I ever saw, somebody gave me a wow for what? I'm not that wow this morning, guys, really. But the first time I ever saw a chicken dust bathing, like many years ago, I was like, it's dying, and it's not, I promise you. It's totally natural. This chicken was literally just rolling like any other normal chicken and I thought it was having a seizure many, many years ago. So, so that kind of just tells you what a lot of people who don't regularly own chickens think. And I actually do very frequently get emails from people and they say, well, should I be dust bathing my chickens? Should I let them dust bathe? How do I let them dust bathe? How often? I had one person message me once and say, how often do I dust them? Like the chickens, like you're taking a duster and just like slapping dust all over your chickens. But no, it's something that they'll do on their own and they'll do it naturally. And then I have people who say, well, they're not doing it, which I'm sure that they are, or they are not doing it in a spot that they want them to do it. So we're going to talk about all that stuff today. But dust bathing is a completely natural thing for them to do. It's part of their instinct and it's a social thing for them. They establish, it helps them establish like their social order. It helps them stay clean. So that sort of thing. So you might see a bunch of hens dust bathing, but then the rooster standing by closely just to make sure that, everybody's safe. So that's the deal with dust bathing. I'm not sure what else to say about dust bathing, because it's super, super normal. A common question I do tend to get is, what's a good recipe for it? So I had to think there for a second. What's a good recipe for it? So, let's dive into that a little bit. Basically, chickens will pick any place that they want to dust bathe. And they are very, they're creatures of habit. I mean, even more so than humans, I think. Because if you try, they'll pick a spot. And I always have to pick several spots in the yard. And it's always like the weirdest, the most inconvenient spot possible, right? And then there's this hole in the ground that you walk into and you fall over because there's this divot because they dig down. But basically, you know, where was I? Some days I'm more with it than other days. It's a Monday morning. I'm not quite with it today. I'll get in the swing of things in a minute. But, you know, as far as what they can dust bathe in, they'll pick a spot. And you'll be like, why did they pick that spot? But it's like, to them, it's like the most perfect spot. So they might dust bathe in dirt. They might dust bathe in dirt plus compost. I've had chickens, you guys. I don't know what these chickens were thinking. They were dust bathing in a pile of, you know, when you clean the coop, you take out all the manure and stuff. And so, you know, we put it in a spot where it can compost. They were cleaning themselves in this compost pile mixed with dirt, feathers, poop. I mean, whatever, you know, pulled out. Obviously that's something that has to be stopped, but, you know, it's something that they'll just find a spot and they'll do it. So dirt in and of itself is totally fine. As long as it's not like a place where, you know, animals poop consistently, I probably would keep them away from that. But dirt itself is totally fine. And it's, you know, all things be equal. Like if you have chickens and you don't put out a spot for them to dust bathe, they're just going to go to dirt anyways. One way that you can improve upon that is by adding, you know, diatomaceous earth to it. If you don't know what diatomaceous earth is, it is, it's fossilized algae, basically, is what it kind of boils down to. It's fossilized algae. And there's commercial grade and there's food grade. If you're going to give your chickens diatomaceous earth in any way, shape, or form, it needs to be food grade, and you can find them at a feed store. And you can also, if you go to thefrugalchicken.com/DE, like D as in dog, E as in Edward, you can go ahead and get the brand that I buy. But food grade is really, really important because at some point they're going to try and consume it. That's just how chickens are. But if you want to improve your the dirt that they're dust bathing in, you can definitely add like some diatomaceous earth. And I said like, I was like, well, should I tell them how much? People do ask about how much. I usually kind of just throw it in there, like maybe a couple cups, depending on how big it is. There's an article on the blog that gives a really good recipe. If you are creating a place for them to dust bathe, I kind of go with like half and half, like half dirt, half diatomaceous earth. And that works out well. So yeah, we've built places for them to dust bathe. You don't have to build them a place to dust bathe. If they want to dust bathe in the dirt, that's fine. They might even prefer it. But if you want to build them something to dust bathe in, we use kiddie pools because they're cheap, easy to clean. They're larger, so they hold more than one chicken. A lot of times I just basically see people, they make dusting boxes out of like apple orchard crates. Like these crates are like, you know, what, maybe 18 inches, 2 feet wide by like, you know, 3 feet long. It's not big enough for multiple chickens. And because dust bathing is a social issue, a social issue. Let's try again. Now, chickens are not rioting in the streets over dust bathing because it's how they establish their social order. Let's go with that. Because it's how they establish their social order, they're going to want to do it together. So if you're going to build them something to dust bathe in, you want to make sure that it's large enough. And that's why we use the kiddie pools, especially this time of year. It's what, almost September. You can get kiddie pools for like cheap, really, really cheap. I want to say like $1, maybe $3 at the dollar store. And that's where we get ours. We you know, there's no point in spending a ton of money on it. So we get ours at the dollar store. And you know, you just take a shovel, kick some dirt into it, right? The dirt obviously has beneficial microbes in it. It has rocks in it. And it might have rocks in it that they can swallow and use for their digestion. So don't be turned off by the fact that, you know, they're rolling in dirt. So take dirt, put dirt in one half, put the DE in the other half, diatomaceous earth in the other half, and then just stir the whole thing up. That's a really simple recipe that you can repeat at home. If you want to get fancier, you can put herbs in there. Oregano is a good one, and they'll taste test the oregano. You know, sage is another good one. The sage may help with internal parasites. So there's a lot of really good options, you know, a lot of really good herbs you can put in there. I'm trying to think of something because vitamin E is really good for their skin. So I'm trying to think of something you can put in for vitamin E. But that product I've shown you guys this product a couple times, is that Animal Sense ointment that has vitamin E in it. So if you have a chicken that maybe needs a vitamin E boost for their healthy skin, that's a product that I like to use. So, you know, creating a dust bath and, you know, the recipes for dust bath, it's not complicated. People try to make it seem more complicated than it has to be, but really, you know, a patch of dirt is good enough. And again, if you want to get fancy, you can make them a dust bathing kiddie pool like we have. And there's an article on the blog about how to do that, and it has the recipe in it. And when I'm done with this, I'll put the link below for that article. But basically, you know, that's sort of the deal with making your own dust bathing area for them. And a common question I get about that is, well, what happens when it rains? So you are going to have to either put it under something so when it rains, it doesn't get mucky, because that's going to happen. We've had diatomaceous earth harden in the rain, so it gets wet, then it dries, and it just turns all hard again. So you're going to have to either cover it or put it under something that will not allow the rain to get into it, or you just dump it out every single time. And it's good to dump it out every so often, because they're going to poop in it. They're going to, you know, insects are going to get into it eventually, right? Other animals might poop in it, like rats or mice might poop in it. So, you know, cleaning it out once a week, once every other week is probably a really good idea. You don't want them to reinfect themselves or infect themselves with anything that might be in it. So that's sort of the story about how to build a place for your chickens to dust bathe. Do you have to do this? No, but you can if you want to. Now, let's move on really quick to talking about diatomaceous earth. That particular substance, you know, like I said, what it is it's crushed fossilized algae, the diatom algae. And it's a little controversial in the chicken world. I'm not entirely certain why, except that someone decided it was bad one day for chickens and started making a tooting their own horn about it. But there have been multiple studies about using diatomaceous earth with chickens, and the studies are fairly conclusive that it can help reduce external parasites. For internal parasites, the jury's still out on that. There have been some studies that showed that it helped internal parasites like worms and stuff like that, and you know, studies have shown that it didn't have any, you know, effect whatsoever. So I advise people, and what I do is I tell people, use it on the outside. They're probably going to taste test it anyway, so look at and get it internally, and then, you know, it might hurt. No, let's try this one more time. Can't hurt, might help, right? So that's my feeling on DE. It's good for external parasites like mites, lice, fleas, whatever, you know, creepy crawlies might infect your chickens. Diatomaceous earth is good to use. We've used it for scaly leg mites, and we've seen it work very successfully for that. So including it in their dust bathing ritual is a really good preventative. So that's the kind of deal. Like, you know, people say diatomaceous earth isn't good for chickens because if you don't know what it looks like, if you look under a microscope, it has sharp edges. So that's why it works against external parasites like insects, because what it does is as the insects crawl on the chicken, it slices the exoskeleton, and basically they die from it. Either they dry out or they, you know, get some other infection or reason to die, right? So it actually, that's how it works to get rid of them, gets rid of external parasites. Now, a lot of people say that, you know, let me backtrack one second. There's been multiple studies that have shown that. Industry has done multiple studies that have shown that there is some effect, and that's how it's going to help works to help with external parasites. The controversy with diatomaceous earth lies in the fact that it can be caustic if inhaled, okay? It can be caustic for humans. It can be caustic for animals, you know. So you'll read advice on the internet, and I've had people in my blog kind of comment and go, you know, so-and-so says I shouldn't use it. You say to use it. You know, what's the deal? I'm very, very confused. And that's sort of why I'm going over this right now, so you guys can understand what it is and you can make your own decision. I can't tell you whether you should use it or not use it. I do personally use it, and I know a lot of people who own chickens that do use it, but you have to make your own decision. But the controversy comes in because when inhaled consistently, it can cause upper respiratory problems in living organisms like me and you and the chickens. Now, what I do in order to not have that happen is I only use diatomaceous earth either outside where there's a breeze that can get have it blown away. For example, if we have a chicken with scaly leg mites and we need to get rid of it, it comes down to the lesser of two evils here, right? They got scaly leg mites. They're losing the scales on their legs. It's causing open wounds. And at the other end of the spectrum, they might get a upper respiratory infection. So it comes down to, do the benefits outweigh the potential risks, right? Whenever you're making these sort of decisions about your animals or anything in your life, you kind of have to look at it and say, does the benefit outweigh the risk? The risk. Not the risk, like we're making soup, but the risk, right? In the case of the scaly leg mites, the benefits, in my opinion, we have seen the benefits outweigh the risks. And that's because after we've put it on, we've seen resolution of the issue. We continue to use it for a few weeks, and the scaly leg mites go away. If you don't do anything, you're going to end up with chickens that have nothing left. I mean, basically, the scales are falling off their legs, right? So it comes down to lesser two evils. So that's why we always use it outside, where it's kind of there's breeze, and the breeze can kind of whisk away what is not necessary, like what is not actually being applied to the chicken, so it's not sitting on it constantly, so it's not like the residue isn't there constantly, it's not being caked on them. But in the coop, what I do, I always tell people, because some people like to use diatomaceous earth to clean their coops, I always tell people, wear a face mask if you're concerned about your own safety. For your chickens, leave them out. So use the diatomaceous earth when your chickens are outside and they are free ranging. Put them out for a little while, let them free range, supervise free ranging, and then clean it. And just make sure the dust, so to speak, has settled before you let them back in. That's been very effective for us. We've not had a problem with it. We have not lost a chicken in many years to an upper respiratory infection. Knock on wood right here. Usually if we lose chickens, it's because of predators. So in my opinion, that works very, very well to, have that sort of rule of thumb. But, if you're going to use it consistently, if you're going to use diatomaceous earth consistently and you don't let your chickens out, eventually everyone's going to get an upper respiratory infection because of inhaling dust, right? I mean, look at people 2,000 years ago. People were, not living as long because they were breathing smoke from fires. They're inhaling that smoke because they didn't use chimneys, right? Chimneys came to France, around, 500 or so, 500 AD. So anyways, I digress. So if they're inhaling it consistently, it's going to be an issue with their upper respiratory system. And it would be for you or me. If we're constantly inhaling this stuff, we're going to end up with lung infections as well. So that's the deal. If you want to use it in the coop, just make sure your chickens are outside of the coop. So as far as the opinion that, if you use diatomaceous earth once, you'll give your chickens an upper respiratory infection, I kind of don't subscribe to that belief. I don't think it's a valid belief. I think that it's extrapolating an effect without due cause, if that makes any sense. I'm not making much sense today, am I, guys? I'm sorry. So that's, when it comes to dust bathing, and that's another point we should bring up with the dust bathing. The dust bath itself, you want to make sure it's in an area where they're not going to constantly be inhaling, right? So either it's outside on the run, or, you put it in the coop for a couple hours a day and then you remove it. If you leave it inside the coop constantly and they're constantly dust bathing, it doesn't matter if you put DE in it or if you only put soil in it, you know, dust, you know, dirt in it, they're still going to have upper respiratory problems because they're constantly breathing particles and allergens in, right? So with their chickens and their dust bathing, the dust bath itself, just make sure that they're doing it in an open area. So, and moving on to the next topic, sorry guys. The next question I usually get from people is, I've put the dust bath in a certain spot and my chickens don't want to use it, right? So what do I do? Chickens, like I said, are creatures of habit. They're going to, somebody just messaged me. Hold on, guys, I got to get rid of this. Somebody just messaged me on Facebook. My apologies. You know, they say, I put the dust bath in one spot. My chickens aren't using it. What do? Well, like I said, chickens are creatures of habit. And you're probably going to have a little bit of a difficult time getting them to move from one spot to another spot. The way that we've accomplished that in the past, let's say that they've decided that they want to dust bathe in the middle of the yard and it's kind of inconvenient. You can put something over it so they can't get to that spot. We've done that with, like, they've wanted to dust bathe next to car tires. That's like a favorite spot. I have no idea why. It's the most random place ever. What we've done is we've put the car tires over that spot since we just, you know, we didn't want there to be these huge divots where we're parking our car, right? They do dig down. If given the chance, you know, they're not going to do that in the kiddie pool, obviously, because there's a hard ground, you know, hard floor to it. But if they're outside in just the regular dirt, they are going to keep digging down and digging down and digging down. And you'll see that particularly, interestingly enough, on hot days. Animals, you probably know this, but animals will dig into the dirt on really, really hot days because the dirt underneath will be cool and allow them to bring the body temperature down for a few moments. But, you know, what that ends up doing is that ends up causing a lot of divots in, you know, in your yard. So people, again, people say, well, what do? What you can do is you can either move your chickens to another area, for example, keep them in the coop if they're digging holes in your yard, or simply put the whatever, the kiddie pool or whatever you've made their dust box out of, you can simply put that in that area. And if that doesn't work and they don't like to use it at all, your best bet is probably just to put, if you want to have diatomaceous earth in with the dirt, if you want them to use it to reduce the mites, then the best thing to do is just to sprinkle some in that area. And we've done that too. We've had chickens that we just could not break off of an area for dust bathing. And you just sprinkle the diatomaceous earth in there. It'll, you know, it'll be all good. The chicken, the insects that might be in that dirt won't be in that dirt anymore because either they're going to die or they're going to realize that the gig is up and they got to move out of that area if they want to live, they want to survive. So that's, you know, that's kind of the deal. Do you have any questions about diatomaceous earth? Any questions about, if you have any questions about chickens in general, if you have any questions about dust bathing, just put them below, put them in the box. I'm going to check real quick to see if we have any questions on the Facebook page. I did actually put out a call on the other day asking people if they have questions about it. So let me just check that real quick. I have lots of people sending me messages over Facebook today, and I'm like, people, I'm busy. I'm talking to my chicken peeps. My chicken peeps. I'm talking to my chicken peeps. So Skipper B says, is DE the same stuff that they use, that people use for the pool? It's probably not. Okay, so there's two types of diatomaceous earth. There's food grade, and then there's industrial grade. Food grade is safe to consume, theoretically safe for people to consume. I'm not a physician. I have not studied that. That's why I say theoretically. Because, again, I'm not a physician, so I don't want to say it is, and then you guys go and drink some, and then, you know, I'm stuck with the knowledge that I told you to do it, right? But there's two grades. So food grade is healthy enough for consumption, and industrial grade is not. So my guess is for pool use, that's probably industrial grade. You don't want your chickens to be consuming it. You don't want your chickens to be bathing in it. You don't want it around you. You don't want it around your kids. You don't want it up your nose when you inhale it. I'm not sure 100% what the difference is. I just know that there's something that they do for the food grade, and it's healthier to consume. So if you don't want to use Ashes Earth at all, you don't have to. They'll still get the benefit of rolling in the dirt. It's just that the DE makes it slightly more effective because it is sharper than soil rocks, right? Those tiny little pieces of soil. I just look at this real quick. Sorry, guys. All sorts of... I put so much stuff on here, I have to scroll down, so here we go. All right, here's some questions, guys. Okay, so Alicia asked, where do you find a food-grade diatomaceous earth? You can find it at a feed store. Okay, so any feed store out there. So, for example, Tractor Supply, we buy ours at Orslin's. That's a Midwest, feed store. I'm not sure what else is out there, but you can check places like Home Depot, Menards. They might have it. We go to feed stores because we can be guaranteed it's food safe. And it should have on the side of it, it should say food safe. If it doesn't say that on the side, just don't use it. Okay, let me look at this real quick. So somebody on here says diatomaceous earth is bad for chickens. It slowly kills them. I disagree with that. If you are allowing your chickens to inhale it consistently, if they're in the coop and you're just kind of tossing it everywhere to get rid of the mites, and they're constantly inhaling it, you're going to have problems. I don't believe if you put it in, if you put it in the dust bathing area, if you put it in the dirt, and they inhale, it's not the same problem, right? It's totally not the same problem. And again, there have been multiple studies that have shown that the diatomaceous earth does provide a external health benefit. Moses asked, what is the importance of dust bathings to chickens? So we've talked about that a couple times in this episode. We've touched on that a couple times. The importance is that it helps them reduce the external parasites on them, and it helps them socialize. You're welcome, Jenny. Skipper Bee Farm Jenny said, thank you. You're welcome. I hope this helped a bit. I got so many people messaging me this morning. It's a Monday, y'all. I hope your Monday's going okay. Mine's kind of going, as of right now. But, so as for whether or not DE is going to harm your chickens, we've discussed that ad nauseum. You know my opinion on that. I don't think it's going to be an issue. But again, you have to make the decision that you feel is right for you and your chickens. There's no one right or wrong way to really do this. So that's the deal, guys. The deal with diatomaceous earth and dust bathing. So if you have any other questions about dust bathing, just put them below. Fortunately, this topic today is kind of a short one because there's only so much you can talk about dust bathing, right? So I'll tell you guys kind of what's been going on here this weekend after I get my zing. I had to sip my ninja zing. So we are working on our coops. We're working on building some new coops for my, we have some Brahmas. So earlier this year, we got some Brahmas. We got Jersey Giants. I told you I had the dog kill most of them. So we had a dog come on the property within 30 minutes. We had 30 chickens. And within 30 minutes, that dog killed 20 of them, 24 of them. It was ridiculous. But we have some Jersey Giants left over, some males and females, and then we have our Brahmas. And I have one speckled Sussex left, a pullet. And so what I want to do is I want to separate them. So we know that we want to breed the Brahmas because we really like that breed. They're friendly. Ours aren't too big yet, but they're friendly. They are nice to look at. I mean, that's kind of an important thing. I know that it should be the most important thing, right? But I've had chickens that I've raised for eggs and didn't really care about the looks. I just cared about the egg production, right? And now I'm at a point where I want that, but I also want chickens that are nice to look at. So we got some Brahmas and I got Jersey Giants because I think it's an amazing breed. The thing about Jersey Giants is they grow super big. They grow to about 13 pounds. The roosters do, and the hens will be 10 pounds. And they were actually established as a breed in New Jersey, which is why they're called Jersey Giants, to replace turkeys, because people didn't maybe necessarily want huge turkeys, or they only wanted to raise chickens. Chickens and turkeys, you can raise them together, but you have to keep them separate, because chickens can give a certain disease to turkeys and kill the turkeys. Chickens are carriers, but they're not affected, but turkeys are. You know, somebody didn't want to raise turkeys, but they wanted bigger chickens. That's why the breed was developed. But they're also really good egg layers. So they are a heritage breed, but they're like a really great multi-purpose bird, because they're good for both meat and eggs. So I wanted to establish a flock here of these Jersey Giants. So luckily we have a male and a female left, but what we're doing is we're looking to separate them, our Brahmins from our Jersey Giants, so that we can have purebred birds. So we've been looking at coops and talking about, how we want to build them and stuff. So Jessica says, Brahmins are my favorite, big fluffy legs and bottoms. We have three colors now. They are so sweet. Big brown eggs every day. That's great. See, ours aren't laying eggs yet because we just got them this year. And I like them a lot too. I like the Brahmins a lot. I like how they have the fluff on their legs. And these ones actually are friendly. Our chickens have not really, like, they don't really let us pick them up and pet them, but the Brahmins actually are starting to let us pet them. This cohort that we have of the Brahmins and the Jersey Giants and the Speckled Sussex, we want them to be more like pet chickens rather than functional chickens. We do have chickens that lay eggs every day. And I do hope that these chickens lay eggs every day, but their real purpose here is just for fun. I don't know if that makes me a non-hardcore homesteader, but I've done it both ways. I've had chickens for eggs and meat, and I've had, I've not done it that way. And, it's fun to have the chickens. It's fun to raise them for your own food. But at a certain point, you're like, okay, I got enough of those. Let's do something fun now, And you have to kind of have fun with what you're doing on your homestead, right? It's not all about just streamlining it so everything is food production. At some point, you got to have some fun, right? That's the deal. So, excuse me. All right, guys. We've been going for about a half of an hour now. I think we've kind of talked dust bathing to death because there's only so much you can really say about dust bathing, right? It's healthy for them. It's important for them to do. It's definitely important that they engage in it. Industry, that's sort of like one of the issues with these industrial egg farms. They don't really give chickens the opportunity to do it. Or if they say that the chickens are free range, they have the opportunity, but they're doing it in a very small, crowded, feces-filled area. It's not healthy. That's the deal with dust bathing, guys. All right, guys. Well, we've been at this for half of an hour. I'll probably give a couple minutes if you have any questions. It is like message central here today, you guys. I'm telling you. I'm just going to check the Facebook page one more time to see if we have any questions. But I think that this is our show for today. Thank you for all the likes, everybody. I definitely appreciate it. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that seems like it's our show for today. If you do have any questions further, you can go ahead and just leave them below this video, below this live stream. I will come back on Wednesday, and hopefully I will be a little bit more erudite than I am today. I've stuttered a lot today. It's just been one of those days so far. It's a Monday, right? I don't know about you guys, but I am definitely not a Monday person. All right, guys, thanks for watching, and I will see you Wednesday. Don't ask me what we're talking about, because I don't know. Bye.